Good morning. I'm Pastor Jim Galbo, officially Pastor James Galbo, from Greater Grace Community Church in Dover Plains, New York. If you don't know where that is, come and visit us. And if you've been there, you know where it is. And it's such an honor to be in Baltimore for, it's going to be 2 weeks that I'm here. And just enjoying being edified in the body. You're so loving, you're so kind. Extending the right hand of fellowship, even from across the room with a smile. And just looking in the epistle, 2 Timothy chapter 1, and verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. The promise of life. We have natural life, but we have spiritual life, the first floor and the second floor. And the promise of life, but where do we find the promise of life? We find that it comes from above, that Jesus came from heaven, but it comes from within, that Christ is in us through new birth, through regeneration. And we think of living a life moment by moment, day by day, week by week, year by year, in the faith that God will fulfill his promises to us. And how do we know that? Because he sent the Son. He sent the Son. And the work in God's economy is already complete. And we are in the process of living in what God has already completed. And how do we do that? We do it by faith. And where does the faith come from? It comes from the Word of God. And then in verse 9, that we have been saved and we have been called out with a holy calling. And it's not according to our works. Thank God for that. Because we can't do the work of God. I was raised in a very legalistic church, and it was all about doing, checking the boxes, and then wondering if I checked enough boxes. And I found out, or I was taught, that God could uncheck a box if you blew it. And so when you stand before God, you have a score, but you don't know what it is. And your entire fate for eternity depends upon that score. What a horrible way to live. And we don't have to live that way, and we don't live that way. Because we've been saved, we've been born again by the Spirit of God, called with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose, that God has a purpose for us. God has a purpose for us. And what's God's purpose for us? That we may know him. That we may know him. And as a believer, I can be so doing-oriented. So doing-oriented. And the message this morning, that to know him. To know him. And then we do because we know. We do because we know, and then we get to know in doing, but doing it through God, doing it God's way, through faith and by grace, not in legalism, and not being self-conscious, but being Christ-conscious. His own purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, that God has equipped us before time began to live our life now in this time, and it's a short time, isn't it? It's a short time, and as we get closer to the end, and we don't know when the end is, God's the one who's keeping the time clock. And so the encouragement to live every day to the fullness that we have in Jesus Christ, and we know about tomorrow, but not to bypass today in being overoccupied with tomorrow. And then verse 13, hold fast the pattern of sound words. We hear sound words in this ministry, don't we? We hear the words of God. We hear the words of God, and those words build us up, and those words equip us, and those words correct us. And then we act in faith, and we act in the love, because we know that the letter used incorrectly can cause great harm. And we can receive an edifying message in a spirit of condemnation. That doesn't come from God. That doesn't come from God. But we receive the word from God in the love of God, and then we go forward, holding fast those words. I don't have a great memory anymore. It's getting kind of scary. And it's amazing the things that I can do, the things that I can forget and all that. But holding fast, it's through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings to remembrance that which we have learned. The Holy Spirit brings it back. And then we have an energy. The world talks a lot about energy, but where is the world's energy coming from? It's not from a good place. It's from below. But we have the Spirit of God. And this is a living faith. This is a living faith that we have. And then the last verse that we can look at, and oh, why are we going to spoil the message by talking about hardship? 2 Timothy 2:3. Paul knew about hardship, didn't he? He knew about hardship. Defiling Jesus Christ, there's so much opposition. Our old sin nature hates following Jesus Christ. It's always looking for the short circuit, the path of least resistance. But in Christ, we can face the resistance. And the resistance is actually good for us. It's part of the growing process. We need resistance. We need to be challenged in our faith. And to learn, we have to learn to endure hardness as soldiers of Jesus Christ. Being trained up in the Word that God is preparing us. God is preparing us to be a servant, that we serve Jesus Christ. And when we serve Jesus Christ, we're serving the body of Christ. And when we serve the body of Christ, we're serving Jesus Christ. And to see Christ in one another, that's what makes us so precious. We all have stuff that annoys one another. Maybe we don't want to admit that. And a lot of us don't even know how we annoy one another. We're clueless. And people are so kind, they don't tell us. They overlook it through the grace of God and through the love of God. But to look, not even to look past one another, but to look into one another. And not to see the flaws and the faults and the unfinished work, but to see the work finished, to see Christ in one another. And to love one another. And then when we come together in love, we come together in unity. We come together in one purpose, to reveal Christ to one another and to take the message to those who need Jesus Christ, because we don't know who will be saved and who won't be saved, but we take the message. And God honors His Word. He honors His Word in us, and then He honors His Word as we take it forth. God bless you. I love you. Amen.
Thank you. This Christmas season, we have been teaching on humility, because God is the only wise God. He's in the scripture called the only wise God. He's also the only humble God. And we read this in Philippians chapter 2. So would you turn there with me? And the theme today is humility and death. So we'll write that on the screen. And did you have a good holiday season with your family? Humility. And death. The death to self, the death that's so important in our natural life. We have two lives, like we said. It's like a house with two floors, and the first floor is the natural life of moral living, civilized living. Do you remember how when you went to school you behaved and you went from first grade to second grade, probably, and eventually, and then you go through school by behaving and doing your assignments and attending and going to school, and then you get a job, and then again you must behave and do a good job, and then you get promotion or another job, and you behave, or you go in the military and you learn about how the thing works, and you stay in, and this is how people live naturally, natural man. But we read in the scripture that unless we are born again, we cannot enter the kingdom of God. So we have our first point here is regeneration. This is when you discover there's more to the house than the first floor of the house. You learn that life isn't moral only, life is spiritual. And that God formed the spirit in us, Zechariah 12:1. He that made, who spread out the heavens and the earth, also formed the spirit in man. Let's put that on the screen, Zechariah 12:1. It's just for you to read that. Right in the middle, who stretches out the heavens, lays the foundation, and forms the spirit of man within him. Why did God give us a spirit? Because God is spirit. And he's the father of spirits in Hebrews 12. And it's only by the same material that we have a connection. It's the same material. The spirit in a man is dead because of sin. But when you are regenerated, when we are saved, God gives you the Holy Spirit, and your spirit becomes alive to God. And you become a worshiper of God. You worship God. He loves you. You love God. That regeneration means that you have potential. Put here the word potential. You might say, I haven't experienced God. I haven't experienced God. I believe in Jesus, but I haven't experienced him. But you have the potential to experience him because you are regenerated. You might say, I don't have love in my heart for God, but you have the potential for that love. And that's what we'll speak about today. That you actually have a new life. But you might say, I don't know much about that new life. Yes, but we're teaching you about it. And you live by faith. As you live by faith, you have fellowship with God. God is faithful. 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful who's called us into the fellowship of his dear son. That's our new nature. That's why we are we get this awakening, this satisfaction, this fellowship that comes from God. Okay, so through the sermon this morning, I want to make this, or repeat this, that you are regenerated. And because you are regenerated, you can hear what we are saying about your spiritual life, your new life, who you are, and how this life, what happens with this life. Let me illustrate it a little bit more. Humility and death is our theme, and we're going to look at that and what it means. And then we are talking about the regeneration. You are regenerated. You have the potential for love, God's love. Natural life you love, but it's not God's love. It's love, human love. And that's why the world falls apart. Because even though you go to kindergarten, first grade, second grade, even though you get a job, you do your work, you go to the military, you do your work, and you live your life, it's not enough. It's not enough. You're not made to go through those programs and that's all. You are made to have fellowship with God and know Him personally, to have His love. And humility is a new word for some people. Humility is a new word. For example, in the military, the officer could say, clean yourself up, put your uniform in order, make your bed correctly, and so on. You say, yes, sir. So is there obedience? Is there submission? Yes. But is there humility? We don't know. Because even though you obey, you may not be humble. Yeah, yes, sir, You obey, but do you obey in your heart? Do you do what you're supposed to do so you go to the next grade, or you get an increase in your salary, or your boss likes you? But this is all natural. And then when someone becomes a believer, they carry that into their Christianity and they just say, just tell me what to do. I will do it. You can do it. But this is deeper. This is of the heart. Remember Jesus said, you honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. Yeah. Humility is not from men. There's enforced humility. There's pain if we are not humble or submitted. But humility is really the only one that really loves is God, and the only one that is really humble is God. Humility must come to us through our regeneration. And we have it. We have the potential for it. We can grow in it. We can learn it. It's an amazing thing. Humility is something missing in the human race. We'll see that in a minute. But it's not foreign to you. You actually learn it, because the Holy Spirit is sent into the world to teach us what it is. Okay, let's look at Philippians 2 and read about Jesus being humble, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What mind? The context is about others. Esteeming others better, caring about others. Do you care about others? Is humility is something where we are not caring about the first floor of the house and the natural man the way the natural man cares about it. He cares about his reputation. He cares about his own life. But Jesus, when he was here, it wasn't about his life, it was about his Father. He was submitted to the Father, and he would always do what the Father showed him. He showed us humility, and the Father showed us his humility by loving us so much that he gave up his Son, and that his Son came here and was incarnated as a servant. And he showed us that he's, the big muscles. Hercules was a god, the Greek god, right? Hercules. And he was strong, and this is what people want. They want a god that is big and strong and very smart, very wise. But when Jesus came, he showed us something else. He showed us the death of the cross. He showed us weakness. Come down from there. Come on down from there. And you show us how good, how great you are, strong. Come on down. He didn't. He showed us weakness. Then, like, what are you doing there? This is foolish. You're dying the death of a criminal. Show us wisdom. Talk like Socrates or Plato, or show us something. Show us, like, the mind. Show us, and he's quiet. He's dying like a fool, and he's dying in weakness. Two things that we don't like, naturally. Now, we are people looking for power. The organization, the CEO, the NFL, the celebrities, the reputations, the likes on social media. We're looking for acceptance and power and popularity and reputation in our career to be spotless. We're looking for this. We're looking for that. That's what Paul had in this book, Philippians 3. He writes his biography, and he said, I had it. I was a Jew of the tribe, not of the tribe of Ephraim, of the tribe of Benjamin. Like, I'm from the Kennedy family, Roosevelt family. I'm from a good family. I'm a good tribe. Not only that, I was a Pharisee. Not only that, but... And not only that, but, and I had it all. But then I found Jesus. And I found God. And you know, God looks foolish on the cross, but it says in 1 Corinthians 1:25, the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. This is something new to us. How could you be humiliated, mocked, ridiculed, hanging on a cross, and change history? Because him doing that was all about manifesting God. And when he manifested God, he won our hearts. And we became believers because this God is not like other gods. And you can read it in ancient history. You can read, humility was not a virtue in the ancient world. It was not even, it wasn't even written about. It was not a virtue. But when Christ came, he showed us it's a virtue. It's the nature of God, where God is selfless, where God is able to go very low and save us and pay a price and suffer a death, not only death, but the death of the cross. Look at verse 6. Who being in the form of God, Philippians 2, thought it not be robbery to be equal with God. We taught last week, he wasn't grasping at it to be equal with God. You know, we talked about this purse snatcher in the streets with a motorcycle, a guy coming, flying by a pedestrian and snatching the purse. They're thieves like that, robbers like that, and they just snatch it. In a similar way, like Christ didn't, when he's very low in his station in life, the Greeks are saying, come on, if you're so famous, show us, come on, talk to us, show us. And Jesus isn't what they wanted. And he could have snatched it being God. He could have said, Yeah, in your face. I'll show you who I am and be God like that. But he didn't do that. He was a servant. And similar with us, you have the potential of being very humble. And when it's in your power to like snatch at, grab your reputation and protect it. You don't do it because you have Christ in you. You can suffer loss. You can be humble with your wife. One of the blessings in my life is my wife. I recognize her love. I recognize her discernment. I recognize her help. I recognize that she is for me. I recognize those virtues, those things that are beautiful in a person. And you and I need to recognize and discern how God ministers to us in the body. And when we can be humble, this is His nature in us, then we can listen to each other. And we can overlook some things and build on something good. My wife isn't perfect, nor am I. I am not, but one of the things about her is that she can recognize also. And we can receive from each other. What if the woman isn't humble with her husband? What if the husband is not humble with his wife? Then what is happening in the relationship? It may be very complicated and difficult. But let me show you one text here that might help. Turn to Luke 1. This is a little bit of a... The principle is clear. It's John the Baptist's father, Zacharias, verse 12, saw him. He was troubled. He saw Gabriel, the angel. Verse 11, chapter 1. He is in the temple, Herod's in the godly Jewish temple built by Herod for the Jews as a gift. He is serving in the temple. It's his turn. In the lineage of being a high priest. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense, verse 11. When Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. And the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. Your wife Elizabeth shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you shall have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. Many of the children of Israel shall be returned to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Do you realize that what Zacharias is being told is very deep, very spiritual? It's from an angel. The angel is Gabriel. Gabriel came and gave this message to Zacharias. But we have a problem in the story. It's amazing that there's an angel appearing and telling him verse after verse of what his son will be. It's a miracle that his wife in her old age will have a son, and that they have been praying for a son. And now the angel is coming to tell him, like, detail about him and who he is and what will happen. But we have a problem, and that's Zacharias has really unbelief about it. And I think this is a message for us. I mentioned my wife earlier. My wife, I want to recognize her. I want to recognize her, but you can put in there your friend, a member of the church. You can put in there a Bible verse that speaks to your heart. You could put in there any number of things that God ministers to us that we're paying attention to. And he is saying, I am here with you. And we're saying, I don't think you are. I am here with you. I have something to say to you. I haven't heard you for a long time. I don't go to church anymore. I haven't read my Bible in a long time. I'm finished. I'm done. I have no interest. That's the thing about us as people. That's what happens here. In some way, I'm maybe exaggerating it a little bit, but I want you to follow the story with me, because it says here, verse 18, Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? I'm an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. It's like, you're missing it. Are you kidding me? You're talking to an angel who stands in the presence of God, who came to tell you, whereby shall I know this? It's like, are you kidding me? That's us. That means there's something missing. There needs to be humility. It says in 1 Peter 5, be clothed with humility. It's like, discern it. Recognize this. This is an angel. This is Gabriel. Look at how Gabriel answered. He says here, the angel answered, said, I am Gabriel. And you can just put a period there. You're asking for evidence? I am Gabriel. Read my lips, you know. I stand in the presence of God. Do you get that? That's what he said, didn't he? I am Gabriel that stands, in verse 19, in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto you and to show you these glad tidings. Here is the point. Humility is a big thing missing in our culture. It's a big thing missing in life. We gravitate to the huge things, the important events. We gravitate to the famous or to the successful or the people that are very important or events that are... It's like, no. You need new eyes, new heart. All around me, all around us is God. He is speaking. He is here. Have you seen it with your wife? Have you discerned it with your husband? Have you seen it in a child? Have you seen it in a bird? Have you seen it in the clouds? How about the psalmist said, I will look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. What do you mean? That your help comes from the hills? Yes, my help comes from the hills. I can see God. And then it says, my help comes from the Lord God. Psalm 121. The humble will see. The humble will be glad. The humble will be exalted. The humble will get greater grace. The humble will find. The humble will discern. If you take a husband and wife and they are humble, what will happen in their chemistry, in their love, in their appreciation? What will happen in the family? How will that dynamic affect? How about a church that's filled with humble saints? They're not needing a great reputation. They have found God. And that's enough. It's like God. They don't need to be important or anything. They are saints. They are servants. They are humble. They are knowing God. And when they are speaking, it's almost like, it may not be Gabriel speaking to me, but it may be a body member, a pastor or a teacher that will sit with me and listen to me, and I will hear what the Lord has to say to my heart that will build us up. Because that's how it works. We said, we're not humble, but you are born again. Now you have the potential for the Holy Spirit to fill you and teach us humility. Okay, let's go to the last part, is Philippians 2, and then a brief part in chapter 3. And this is a lot of places in the Word, but we have Jesus, verse 7, made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. And we see people humble way more than what we can. We just see people that are humble. Have you met people that are like that? It's precious. Yes, we have. By the way, Zacharias was penalized for his unbelief, his attitude. What was the penalty? He couldn't talk through the pregnancy of his wife. The birth of the baby, he still couldn't talk. 8 days later, circumcised and giving the name, his wife said his name, she said, Zacharias, right? And he said, they gave him a tablet, and he said, his name will be John. And then he opened his mouth, and it said he was filled with the Spirit. Like he was filled, and he prophesied about John the Baptist. He was filled with the Spirit. You look at the picture. We are body members. Sometimes we stop talking. Sometimes we have attitudes. We don't have a message. What's your message? Somebody at Sam's Club could say, what's your message? You have a message. I don't have a message. But aren't you a born-again Christian? I am. What's your message? I don't have a message. What happened? Why don't you have a message? What happened? Why aren't you believing? I'm living on the first floor, the house. I have a reputation. I have to protect my career. I have to protect my self-life. I'm afraid of people. I don't have anything to say. I don't have any message. Do you go to church? No, I don't go to church. This is what happened to me. I was a leaf. Oh, I don't know if I can draw. Okay, something. It's a terrible leaf. Okay, here's a stem. Okay. I blew those off my yard yesterday. Yeah, I was leaf blowing yesterday. One time that leaf was green and alive, filled with life. It was small, and in a week, 10 days, it grew so fast. It was beautiful. Went through the summer, and then it started to dry out and fall. And now my attitude yesterday was, get off the yard. Leaves, go away. We will burn you. We will blow you away. You are dust. You are nothing. That's like Christians. Christians can be filled with life. They can also die, because that's the natural life. They get tired. They don't read the Bible anymore. They don't go to church anymore. They withdraw. They're discouraged. They're blown away. The world uses them for fodder. They are nothing. They are blown away, dust. They are Christians. What happened to them? Don't they have the potential to live with eternal life? Don't they have the potential to worship? Don't they have potential to say before Gabriel, "You are Gabriel. I receive what you say. My wife will have a child. I can't believe it. Thank you so much. I worship God. No, Zechariah is more like, "How do I know this is true? How do I know this is true?" It's like, okay, you're dried leaf. You're history. You're not talking. We don't need your opinions. We don't need your talking. We don't need your pride. We don't need your arrogance. It's like God saying to us, "Are you empty? Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God." That's like God saying, humility and death, they go together. Because it says, Jesus, we die, we have a treasure in earthen vessel, and it says that we bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. I want to finish here because I know you're listening, but follow this with me. The dying of the Lord Jesus. What did that look like, the dying of Jesus? Just to go into the historical elements, he is alone on the cross. Where are all his friends? They're gone. Have you had that kind of death? Have I had that kind of a death where nobody is with me? Nobody understands what I'm going through? Nobody knows how broken I am. Nobody knows how afraid I am of this whole thing, where my reputation is in the dirt, where people are ignoring me and walking away from me. Have you had that kind of thing emotionally? I'm sure you have. Nobody calls on you, respects you. You are a throwaway. You are a castaway. That's the death Jesus died. But you have the potential that not the world doesn't have this potential. You have that potential of living in humility and God being with you and teaching you who God is. And you come alive again and again. But the dying of the Lord Jesus, the dying of the Lord Jesus is what we bear. We bear in our bodies the dying of the Lord Jesus. What else is it? His reputation is in the tank. Reputation. Okay. How about anything to do with power? No, no power. Couldn't he pick up the phone, make a phone call to the governor? Couldn't he call out? Couldn't he call 10,000 angels? Couldn't he? Yes, he could have, but he didn't do any of it. No telephone, of course, but how about us? Could I pick up the phone? Could I go to the bank? Could I get the money to bail myself out of a problem? Could I make a couple calls? Could I push a button and it's over? I don't die the death of the Lord Jesus. I've saved myself. Yeah, I can do that. We do that. That's the natural guy. Like in kindergarten, first grade, all through life, you learn how you can put people under your feet and you can go to the top. Or you learn that you're always down at the bottom and people are walking on you and you're suffering a lot. Either way, it's not fun. It's the natural life. But your new birth gives you the potential to learn something more, and that is, you learn that God is with you on the cross. You learn that he told you that he's going to raise you in Psalm 16. You will not see corruption. You'll be, in other words, you'll be raised from the dead. 3 days, as Jonah was in the fish, 3 days, the Son of Man will be in the earth. 3 days, and he's going to live. So, what does this mean in Philippians 3? Paul uses it for his own life here. And this is what he wanted. Verse 10, and we'll finish here. That I might know him. Lord, is it possible to know you? Yeah, I want you to know me. That's the whole thing. I got you on the earth, and I want you to know. How will we know you? By the Spirit. The Holy Spirit in you. You'll know me. There'll be an anointing on your life. There'll be the Spirit of God's love in your heart. You won't hate. You won't be violently angry, like a bursting out with anger at your neighbor. You won't go to bed at night with a voodoo doll to put stick pins in your neighbor. That voodoo doll is made in the image of your neighbor. And you stick pins in that doll to curse your neighbor. That won't happen. That will not happen. Because you know God. And that God is a God of love. God is the God of investment. He is the God of words. He is the God of forgiveness. He is a God that doesn't mark our iniquities. If he did, who would stand? Psalm 130, verse 4. God is a God that laid down his life for us. He shows us who he is. Now, we can die in a similar way, the way Jesus died, where we look like fools, but actually, we're not. We look weak. We forgive our enemy. We don't look for revenge. We look for grace, to give grace. This is another message, but I have to say the Hatfields and McCoys, that feud years ago, it started in the Civil War time and lasted 60 years. 109 people died. And people killing each other. Your grandfather killed my grandfather. I'm going to kill your grandfather. Great way to live. Really? Are we going to hate? Are we going to have revenge? Are we going to be proud? Are we going to question God? Are we going to get angry with God when we suffer? Are we going to say when there's the cross and God has called us to die the death of the cross? And because Jesus was humble, he could do that. And that humility is in us so that you can say to your wife, you are precious, and thank you for listening to me, and thank you for the fellowship we have in the church and the encouragement we have with each other and for all of our friends and the future that we have together as we walk in humility. You know what breaks it up? Pride. You know what breaks up a family? Pride. You make better Tabasco sauce than I do. You make better pancakes, better cake. You make better plove, better rice. Your food is better than my food, and I resent it. It's like, really? We're going to destroy our family because of rice or cake or cookies? No. Or soap. There's a famous story about a man who said, where's the soap? There hasn't been soap in this house for 2 weeks. And the woman is like shopping or whatever, and she's so offended. They stop talking, and the family divides. And it's a sad story. Is it soap? No, it's not soap. It's not rice. It's not cake. It's not cookies. It's pride. That's what it is. It's the natural man. That can't be in us. We must have the Spirit filling us. And we must humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. and learn about love and learn about faith. And then when it comes to the Christian life, nobody has a handle on this. You cannot master the program. Nobody knows the program. We don't know how it works. We must simply trust in the Lord with all our heart and not lean on our own understanding. Even if you learn the whole Bible and understand all the mysteries, but you lack love, you know nothing. Amen. We know nothing. We have no idea what God wants to do, but I'll tell you, he said it. He said, be clothed with humility, and I will exalt you in due season. And there's a way that that leaf comes back together. I'm going to finish this. I'm having a hard time finishing here because it's so precious. But if you look up this verse, Revelation 22, is it 4 or it says there's, or is it 3? Sorry, I don't remember which one it is. They can find it. Revelation 22, verse 3. Next one. Nope. Let's go to verse 2. That's the one. In the midst of the street, on the other side of the river, there's the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves, that's my point. The leaves are not with a leaf blower thrown away. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Those leaves don't die. They heal the nation. Now let's go back to the Christian life and finish up. The leaf of the Christian, when it's dying, understand, you're dying on the vine. You're dying on the tree. That's a sign. That's a sign. The life you have doesn't die. The life we have is Christ. And if you're a Christian that's dying and getting blown away in the world, then come on. You have the potential for humility and to be submitted to the living God. And what does he say? He goes, follow me, trust in me, and you will live. You will live again and again and again, and you live again and again. Pastor Shabelli, how many years has he been a believer? I don't know, 50 years or whatever. Living again, again. Pastor Steve, how long have you been? 11 years? 42 years. Live again and again. Those leaves in heaven don't die, and nor do you. You have the potential for this life. When you hear, like, discern it, live in it, and you'll talk, and you'll speak, and you'll minister. And if you are drying up, shrinking and drying up and looking for the program, get real humble before God in your heart and say, Lord, I have been proud. I haven't recognized you. I'm going to church. I'm going to discern you, listen to you, and follow you. And I will live again. Amen. Brave. Lord, we've had a great year, 2024, and we are alive. He gives greater grace to the humble. That doesn't mean the church. He gives great. He gives a may. It may, but he gives great grace to the humble. And none of us are. But we have the potential to live in your humility and trust you. And teach us this, Lord. In in Jesus' name. And then anyone listening, you have not yet made a decision to trust in Christ, do that today. Say yes to Jesus Christ. Yes to him in your heart. Say it in a prayer to him. Yes to Jesus. Yes to him. Raise your hand if you're doing that prayer. You just say yes to Jesus. Anybody here? Yes to Jesus. Yes to Jesus. And bless this coming year, Lord, in our service Tuesday night as we go into the new year on our knees. Not in a bar room, but on our knees in the church coming into 2025 in the spirit, in faith, or at home, wherever you are, but to do it. And then, Lord, to anticipate the year with you. Amen.